Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going to the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 11 and chapter 12, where we see Moses giving five sermons to the children of Israel before they enter into Canaan and appropriate all that God has for them. In today's study, we will be looking at the second of five sermons given by Moses. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 11.
The mountaintops. And the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal before the plains of Morah. For you shall pass over Jordan, verse 31. To go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you shall possess it, and you will dwell therein, and you shall observe to do all the statutes and the judgments which I set before you this day. Verse 1, chapter 12, these are the statutes, judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord your God, the God of thy fathers, gives. Notice the tense there, giveth. It's in the process of giving. He's giving it to you. All the days that you shall live upon the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places, verse 2, wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the high hills, and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, and you shall break down their pillars, and you shall burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and you shall destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so, verse 4, unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all of your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vows, your freewill offerings, the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put in your hand unto you and your households wherein the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not, verse 8, do after all the things that we do here in this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own sight. You guys that go to the well group on Friday nights, this is your theme verse right now in the book of Judges. That's what that book is all about. Everyone did that which is right in their own sight. That's the religion of Oprah today. Grab a little bit of this religion, grab a little bit of that. You're making meatballs. You're taking all sorts of ingredients and you're rolling it together and you're saying, this is how I am spiritual. No, you don't get to say how you are spiritual. You don't get to take a little bit from Marxism, from Buddhism, from, you know, this cult and that cult and Christianity and mold it all together and say, this makes me happy. The Bible gives you no provision to do so. You don't get to dictate what is right before God, even if it's right in your sight. If the Bible says contrary, then it's wrong. God's word above your will, always. Listen, God is very clear here. He's saying here, he's instituting church. He's saying when you come to worship, when you come to bring your offerings, whatever offerings that they are before the Lord that we find in Leviticus, we've already covered in great detail if you want to go back and study. Listen, you come and you do it in the place that I have ordained. You don't have the leeway. You don't have the right to do things that are right in your own sight. I love it about God. How are we supposed to do church like the early church did? That's the pattern. We just follow them. That's we don't get to come up with new ideas. We don't get to approach God on our terms. You've heard me talk about this before. God is very deliberate, very specific in his word as how he wants us to come to him and how he wants us to approach him. Not as how you think you should do it. Well, I'm spiritual in my own way. I experience God on my pillow. I experience God when I'm out on the golf course. Great, but that ain't church. If you want to experience God the way that he has designed, you do it his way and on his terms. It is very important in the day and age of the church today. We got to make sure we understand this. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance, verse 9, which the Lord your God gives you. But when you go over the Jordan, you dwell in the land where the Lord your God will give you to inherit. When he gives you the rest from all of your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place. You all know what place it is, right? Jerusalem, right? That's where the temple will be. The Lord is going to give you a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. It's all about his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It's the name of Jesus that we seek to esteem. It's the name of Jesus that we lift up. It's the name of Jesus that we praise and worship. It's the name of Jesus that we gather together. And amen? That's what he's saying here. One place, one name, that's what you come to do, you come to dwell in. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part, no inheritance with you, you're to come and you're to rejoice. So much of church is rejoicing in Jesus. Listen, don't be a bump on the log when we're worshiping. You ought to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Don't be a person who says, I'm waiting for the Bible study to start. That's how I worship the Lord. I want to know the truth. That's wonderful, but if you have all truth and no spirit, then you're lacking as far as the Word of God is concerned. You need to enter into worship. You need to be able to sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise. It's good to clap in church. It's good to raise your hands. It's good to bless his name. He is worthy of all of your praise. Don't stare at the worship team. It's awkward. They're not here performing for you. They're not a band. They're not looking for your applause. They're here to simply be an audience of one with us and use their voices and their instruments to lead us before the throne of Jesus Christ. That's why I've appointed my brother as the worship leader, because his heart is pure. He wants to lead you into the presence of God, and he does that wonderfully. He does that wonderfully with the team that God has raised up here. They lead us before the presence of Jesus. That is what a worship team is for. Not to sign albums, not to be rock stars. They're here to lead us before the throne of grace. And they're not just here to prepare you for Bible study. That's a wrong conception of what worship is for. Oh, you got to get into worship. You got to have your walls knocked down so that the Lord can minister to your heart through his word. That's a fraction of what worship's for. You were created to worship. You want to know what you're going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping. So if you don't like it now, you're not going to like heaven. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be on our faces singing to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, the King above all kings, the name above all names. That's what we're going to be doing for eternity. Worship is what you were created to do. It's a release for you. So if you're out there talking, if you're out there waiting for worship to end, if you're out there doing other things purposefully, trying to miss worship, you're ripping the Lord off and you're ripping yourself off. You should be here on time to the best of your abilities in church, ready to worship your King. Ready to worship your King. Making a joyful noise to him. And you did it tonight. You did it awesomely tonight. There were times where I just stopped and listened to you guys sing and praise the name of Jesus. There's no sweeter sound in my ears, or more importantly, his ears, than his bride singing to him. Can we do something different at church? All we do is worship and do Bible studies. No way. This is God's way. This is what we do. There'll be no dramas here, no skits, not during service times. This is God's house. We do it his way. Make a joyful noise. That's a word to some of you tonight. You need to hear this. Make a joyful noise to Jesus. Everyone in your family, everyone come and make a joyful noise to Jesus. Take heed to yourself, verse 13. That you offer not your burnt offering in every place that you see. You don't just get to offer up your burnt offering wherever you see fit. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer the burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, verse 15, you may kill and eat flesh in all your gates, whatsoever your soul lust after, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given thee, the unclean and the clean. And by the way, here in verse 15, he's speaking of the eater. That's what he's speaking of here. He's speaking of ceremonial clean and things such as that here in verse 15. He says, the unclean and the clean that you may eat thereof as the roebuck and as of the hart, only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it out upon the earth as water. The Lord is establishing here the sanctity of blood, the respect of blood, because it points to the blood of Jesus Christ that would eventually be shed to wash away our sins. Hang with me. We're almost done. You guys are doing great. You may not eat within thy gates, verse 17, the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of the herds, or the flock, nor of any of the vows which you vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, nor heave offerings in thy hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place, singular, which the Lord your God shall choose. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your Levites, all that are within your gates, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you put thy hands unto. Take heed to yourself that you forsake not the Levite as long as you live upon the earth. When the Lord your God, verse 20, shall enlarge your border as he has promised thee, and you shall say, I will eat flesh, because the soul longeth to eat flesh. You may eat flesh, whatsoever your soul lusts after. Praise God. You want steak? Eat steak. You want pork? Eat pork. Don't tell the Jews that. But you want, you Gentiles, it's all clean before God. Just say, Jesus, bless it. Amen. Especially today, because everything's getting recalled. It's so scary. It's crazy. Pray over your food. Make sure you do that. If the place which the Lord, verse 21, thy God has chosen to put his name there, be too far from thee, then you shall kill of thy herd and thy flock, which the Lord has given thee, and as I have commanded you, and you shall eat in the gates whatsoever your soul lusts after. Even the roebuck, the hart is eaten, so shall you eat them, the unclean and the clean, shall you eat of them alike. Only be sure, verse 23, that you eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. We talked about that in great detail. You may not eat the life with the flesh. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. So not only was the Lord establishing them to have respect for the blood, but also protecting them from diseases that were transmitted through the bloodstream. It's just a safety thing for their health. Hey, don't do this. It's going to hurt your health. Your body wasn't designed to have all that blood, you know, be digested in its system. So just avoid it. Just drain it from the animals that you eat. God always, in every area of your life, the practical, the spiritual, the physical, the mental, everything is always looking out for your best interest. Always. He's always looking out for your very best. So if God says, don't do this, don't have sex with her, she's not your wife, don't watch that show, it's dirty, don't listen to that music, it will corrupt your mind. He's not trying to be a buzzkill. He's not on a power trip. He's simply trying to protect you from things that are going to hurt you. That's it. Let's wrap this up. You shall not eat it, that it might go well with thee, verse 25, and with your children after thee, when you shall do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Only thy holy things which you have and thy vows you shall take, and you shall go to the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh, the blood, upon the altar. What was the altar? Where the animal was sacrificed, where the fire was, right? That where the animal was consumed. The fire of God poured out upon the altar, the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ was crucified. That's what these things speak of. Where the Lord your God and the blood, end of verse 27, of the sacrifice shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and you shall eat the flesh. Now he says in verse 28, two important words, observe and hear. And if you stay home from church, you can't do that. You can't observe and you can't hear if you stay home. You got to be at church that you can observe and hear the word of the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a central place of worship. You got to be there to be able to observe and hear. And for you smart alecks that are saying, I can live stream, don't even go there. Vimeo's not the same. Use at home right now, live streaming, use guys. We're blessed for you, and if you can't be here, that's one thing. If you're physically sick or you're in a different country, wave to them. I don't know where there's the cameras. At the back. We're blessed. We have an audience all over the world. But if you can be here at church, you're saying, well, I'll just watch later. I'll just stream from my bed or my couch. You're missing all that God has in mind for you at church. There's something about church. You can't replace church. And the author of Hebrews says, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, his second coming, all the more do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. You need church. I need church. We need church. And so he says, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it might go well with thee and thy children after thee forever. When you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God, when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations, verse 29, from before thee, whither you go to possess them, and you succeedest them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself, that you be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Oh, so be careful of this. What a word from the Lord here. Be so careful of doing exploratory searches of other religions and how other people worship. I would suggest this to you. If you want to be good at apologetics, study the Bible. You don't need to go read how the Muslims worship and how the Hindus worship and Buddhists and all these other cults and nonsense religions. Just study God's word. You see, there's seducing spirits behind these false religions. And if you begin to start tampering, how do other people worship God? There's demonic spirits that are greater than you apart from Jesus that can easily seduce you and entice you. I can't tell you how many people, especially somebody that has grown up in the church, folks who have walked away because they've tampered. They've had professors in college that were Muslim or different religion, and they've begun to just sort of study, and how do these people approach their God, Allah, or Muhammad, Buddha, whoever it would be, and they got seduced. And that's what chapter 13, we won't get there tonight, but next week we will. It's all about that. False prophets and teachers, seducing spirits. It's very prominent as we're in the last days. Be careful. If you want to know what's fraudulent, just study God's word. Know the truth. Don't ask how these other people serve their gods and then say, even so I will do. You, it says in verse 31, shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done to their gods. God says, I hate what they're doing to worship their gods. For their sons and their daughters, they've burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. You shall not add thereto, nor shall you diminish from it. And that's where we'll stop tonight. Listen, God's word is enough. There's plenty here in these 66 books for us to meditate upon and chew upon. We don't need to add to it, and we don't need to take away from it. When you add to God's word, it's legalism. When you take away from God's word, it leads to compromise. You add to God's word, like the Pharisees of old did, you're a legalist. You begin to become ritualistic and routine and develop just tradition that isn't even ordained by God. And it's a trip that you put upon yourself and on others that is unfair. It was never designed by the Lord. It's not good. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Don't add to God's word. And don't diminish, don't take away from God's word. That will lead to compromise. Don't say, well, I like this part of Christianity, but I don't like this part so much, so I'm going to get rid of it. That will lead to compromise in your life. Just be careful, the Lord says. As you go into this land, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to prosper you. But guard your heart. Another place of warning here of the other gods that are surrounding you. And I would say this to you. That's a great way for you to leave here tonight. As you leave the house of the Lord, the true Lord, and you go out into that world and you're surrounded by the God of money, the God of pleasure, the God of success, the God of sex, the God of all of these things, guard your heart that you don't fall captive, that you don't fall sway under their influence. Purpose in your heart tonight as you leave here. Worship team, you can come. Purpose in your heart tonight as you leave here, like Daniel of old. Lord, I don't want to defile myself with the things of this world. Remember when Daniel, that young Hebrew boy, was in Babylon captivity, and he was in the king's courts? It says in the opening chapter that he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's dainties, with the pleasures, with the luxuries of this life. Man, purpose that in your heart tonight. It's okay to make good money. It's okay to have a good job. It's nice to have a nice house and toys and vehicles, but don't let that be what you're living for. It's okay to have sex if it's with your spouse. If you're single, though, these things will never satisfy. It's okay to enjoy and have hobbies and things that you do in this life that are a blessing to you. There's nothing wrong with that. My daughter asked me last night driving home from my sister-in-law. She said, Daddy, do you want to die? So what are you going to do? Kill me right now? What do you mean? Do I want to die? It's some type of horror movie? He's in the backseat of the van. I'm paranoid all of a sudden driving home on Ladder Road. And she said, do you want to die? So why are you asking me that? She said, I just wonder if you want to die because when you die, you're going to get to see Jesus. And I said, no, I don't want to die. I want to live. Sit down. What are you doing? No, I said, I want to live. I said, there's a lot of things in this life that I'm so blessed by and I enjoy doing. And there's a work that God's called me. I want to be faithful when he sees fit, he'll call me home. Such a long answer to a little girl, but that's what came out of my mouth. And that's fine. That's good. It's okay to love your life. You love serving Jesus. You love your family. You're blessed. But don't let the things of this life consume you. Don't let the gods of this world infiltrate you in your spirit, your being. Man, be a lover of Jesus. Be purpose in your heart to follow hard after Jesus tonight. Don't get caught up with the way that the other people, the heathens, the people you work with, the people that you live next to, the people that you go to school with, the family members even, the way that they worship their gods. You worship your God in spirit and in truth. And you would be rewarded greatly by him. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. Let's worship our Lord tonight. There's so much to worship him for. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much as we started out tonight. Oh, we thank you for saving us from Egypt, from Pharaoh. We thank you that you buried our past. Thank you tonight, Lord, that there's no remembrance. Lord, if we come to you right now and we say, Jesus, you remember when I messed up like that? You'll say back to us, I have no recollection at all of those past deeds. Lord, that you have taken our sin, you have taken all of the failures of our life, and you have cast them into the depths of the sea. You've buried them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you want to take us to higher ground tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you want to set our feet upon a rock, upon a mountaintop of blessings. Lord, help us to leave here tonight, allowing you to pour out your blessings upon us. Protect us from the gods of this world. Protect us, Lord, from sin. Protect us from ourselves. Jesus, pour out your spirit like rain upon us tonight. As we study, Lord, that the rains from heaven would come down upon us, Lord, of your spirit tonight. That latter rain. Jesus, we ask you to pour out your spirit right now upon every believer that's in the building tonight. That we can leave here excited, stoked about who you are, and that we can leak onto those we have an influence on all week long. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you now. We make a joyful noise. In your name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.